call your attention this evening to the Romans 8. Romans 8. Do all things work together? Really? I mean, do we really believe that? Let me give you some real life examples. Years ago, there was a man who was a preacher. His name was B.B. Warfield. B.B. Warfield wrote some systematic theology and a bunch of other stuff. Brilliant, brilliant man. When he was a young man, he met a young lady. That's very common. They married in 1876. That's how old this guy is. He's an old guy. They decided that what they would do is they would go to Germany, and that's where they would honeymoon, and that's where they would spend their first year or so together. They got on a boat. They got to Germany. They had only toured for just a few days. And there was a storm that came up, and Anne was struck by lightning. She lived, but was bedridden for the next 35 years. For 35 years, B.B. stayed with her constantly, never missing being with her for any more than 2 hours. I don't understand that. I mean, 2 hours, that's a short period of time, especially if you're in the ministry of any type. But for 35 years, B.B. Warfield, I keep wanting to say B.B. King, but B.B. Warfield did not leave his new bride that was struck by lightning. You know that that probably was not what they had envisioned, but yet that's what happened. In the last 2 weeks, I have had two different men that have asked me to do something. They both have written books, and they want me to read the books and tell me what my opinion is. And so I'm doing that. I'm wading through one of them. One of them's a children's book. And then one of them is a book by one of my dearest friends in the whole world. He'll preach for us next month, Buddy Thigpen. He's written a book called Even the Darkness Must Pass. Now, it's not published as far as for sale or anything like that yet. And he said, Tommy, I want you to read this. I want you to give me your personal opinion. He said, I don't know if I'm going to publish. He said, but I think it was kind of therapeutic for me just to write it. He said, it kind of helped me just kind of get through everything that has transpired in the last 30 plus years. And what happened was 30 years ago, he had resigned his church. He pastored the Bible Baptist Church in Gainesville. He resigned his church, went on deputation, and the very first day that he was on deputation, he had a 3-year-old son named Wade that got run over. He died. The very first day, he said, there's no doubt that I was in the perfect will of God. There was no hidden sin in my life. There was nothing that I planned on doing except spreading the gospel to Eastern Europe. And yet, my little baby son, who's 3 years old, which was a joy to just have, dies. All things work together for good. Do they really? I say yeah. I absolutely say yes. I read the story of a man that was an EMT type guy, and he was in New York. And he was working the night shift, and as he was coming home that morning, he decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and fill up with gas. He pulled into a gas station he never went to. Never. He's pumping his gas. The other side of the pumps, a car pulls in. A lady gets out, and he recognizes her from the hospital that sometimes he goes to on those EMT runs. And she knows him, and she says, "Can I ask you to do something?" And he said, "Well, yes, ma'am." She said, "Would you pray with me?" And she knew he was a Christian, and she said, "Would you pray with me?" And he said, "Well, I will." "What happened?" She said, "I've just gotten word, and I'm on my way there now, but I've just gotten word that we've had a child in our family that has died unexpectedly. And I don't know, I'm crushed. I don't know what to do." And he prayed at that gas station, not knowing why he even stopped at that gas station until she pulled off and he knew why God had directed him to do that. Have you had experiences like that? Years ago, I used to talk about that God will bring divine experiences your way. I'm not talking about meeting angels, even though that's a possibility. It's a slim one, but it's a possibility. I'm talking about where that you run into people and you hear their story and something wells up inside of you and you just want to just help them. Well, in the Christian life, there are a lot of things that we will encounter. And there's going to be a lot of people that we encounter, and they're going through troubles, such as that woman at the gas station, such as the Thigpens when they were that first day of deputation, B.B. Warfield. All of those people have had stories. You've got stories. We've got stories in our home. Everybody has one. Miss Faye was telling me just a moment ago that the funeral for Billy Mitchell is going to be a graveside at the military cemetery up in Canton. That will be a time whenever they will, as a family, they'll have to go through a process. And can we truly say that all things work together for good in that situation? The Bible tells us the answer to that. Look with me at verse 28. I'm going to give you three things, and I'm going to try to be quick. Number one, I want you to use the word, or write down the word, inevitable. Inevitable. What does that word mean? Well, it means something that is certain to happen. It is something that is impossible to avoid, and it is something that is impossible to stop. I think it's a good word to begin this verse. And we know there is something that you and I know because God has revealed it to us. Now, it was revealed to Paul by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's revealed to us in the inspired pages of Holy Writ. But we know we have a certain knowledge. There's no doubt it's going to happen. It is inevitable that all things work together for good to them that love God. I'll stop there for a moment. And so we see that the plan of God really cannot be stopped. The plan of God cannot be avoided. Think about a time in your life when maybe you had tried to run from the Lord. You just decided, you know what? I'm just going to sow a few wild oats here. I mean, after all, the Lord's let some of these things happen in my life, and I just don't like it. And so, you know what? I'll just do what I want to do. I'll go my own way. And we have that thought, but for a Christian, the Lord will be long-suffering, but ultimately, you will not stop the purpose of God. You won't stop the plan of God. You will be a part of the plan of God. You say, my will says I won't. Well, God says you will. Now, you may not like it, and you may not like how God gets you there, but you'll do what God wants ultimately if you're his kid. And so there is the inevitable. I'll give you an example. Genesis 42. Let's go to Genesis 42, verse 36. And this is the background. Jacob is an old man. Sometimes when we get a little age on us, we're not as courageous as maybe we used to be, all right? And so you've got Jacob, and he is talking to basically his family. And he says this, he said, me have you bereaved of my children? Joseph is not. You see, he still thinks that Joseph is dead. He does not know that Joseph is alive. He did not know the plan of God. All he knew was that he was the grandson of Abraham and the son of Isaac, and that God had told him when he was basically trying to live for himself, that I'm still going to make of you a nation. But he wasn't really thinking in terms of the plan of God for his life. And now he's an old man, and he's not seen that come to fruition. And he says, Joseph is not. In other words, he is dead. Simeon is not. What had happened to Simeon? Well, he'd had a problem, him and Levi. They had gotten in trouble. I think Simeon ultimately spent some time in jail. He had a daughter named Dinah. Dinah was raped. He's got all of that. He said, and now they want Benjamin. They want my baby boy now. And he is absolutely thinking, everything is turned against me. This is the man that God has blessed with 12 sons, that God has promised that he's going to make a great nation of. But he is faltering, and he is flailing as an old man, and he doesn't really understand. Or maybe he knows it in his mind, but he can't make himself believe it in his soul. In other words, I thought God was going to do something different, and he didn't. We've all been there. You and I, we've had things that have cropped up in our lives, and we've been thinking, what is God doing with me? Can I tell you that sometimes as a preacher, I even have those thoughts? I wonder sometimes what the Lord's doing with my wife, 6.5 years into this stuff now. And I'm thinking, surely we got to be on the tail end of it. You know? And I mean, she's got a strong faith. I think I've got a halfway strong faith. My kids have got, you know, pretty good faith. And I'm like, but Lord, we need to get done with this. But we got another surgery coming up. And so we don't always understand the ways of God. And you've got things that have happened like that in your life, but can I tell you that it is inevitable? It cannot be stopped. God has a purpose and God has a plan for you. All things work together. And so there is something that is certain that it's going to happen. And one final thought before I go to number two. I want you to remember this. How many of you have ever heard, there's nothing that God cannot do? Anybody ever heard that? That's not true. That is not true at all. There are some things that God can't do. And one of them is God can't lie. It is impossible for God to lie because he is absolute holy. He has no ability to sin. That's one of the reasons why we believe in the impeccability of Christ, because he's the Son of God. And so when the Lord tells us in Romans 8 that we know that all things work together for good, you can take that to the bank. Number two, there are a couple of ingredients that are here. Not just something that's inevitable, but there's a couple of ingredients. Look at it again. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the first thing. People that love God are the ones that have the good. There is a group of people that are not believers. Their life is not going to end good. You and I that know Christ, we are going to be going into everlasting life. But people that do not know Christ will not be in everlasting life. They will be in everlasting death. They are already condemned. John chapter 3, verse 18. We all know verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, we love that verse. But verse 18 says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You read down in verse 36, it talks about that they're going to be everlasting destruction. And so you've got the ingredient. It's for the people that love God that good is going to be. And we need to make sure that we hold on to that. It's to those that love the Lord first. But there's a second ingredient that you see. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I believe that the call there is those that have heard the call of salvation. They've responded to it. And so that's why I say that it is believers that have good. Now, we may have tragedies. We may have heartaches. Our lives may be in disarray. We may have all of those things. And I mean, it's just seems like that trouble is coming in spades. But ultimately, if you're a believer, it's okay. You think about the Apostle Paul, and you read about the things that he went through. And yet he can still write Romans 8:28. I mean, this guy has been beaten. He's been whipped with a scourge. He has been stoned. He has been cursed at. I think that he actually even died. Now, I'm not sure that he died at Lystra, which is what most preachers say, but he was caught up to the third heaven. And as he's caught up to the third heaven, he said, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't really know. He said, but I saw things that I cannot repeat. Which brings me to something that I saw yesterday. This man is talking about his Christian experience, and he said, I was dead for 44 hours, and I'm going to tell you about it in a book. Buy it. That's basically what he was saying. Now, he didn't say it that crass, but that's because, you know, he's trying to be polished. I think he's a fraud, and so that's why I said it's crass. And so you've got the Apostle Paul, and he is saying, all things work together. You mean when you were floating in the Aegean Sea on that piece of wood, that's the will of God? When you're laying there in a rock pile, and the life has gone out of your body, and you're kind of floating around, you're not in the body, you're not out of the body, you don't really know, that's good? When you're being tied to a tree or tied to a pole and they've got a whip and they're coming across your back, leaving whelps and blood pouring down your back, that's good? Well, according to what he says right here, it is. Why? Because he's a believer. Go to Philippians 1:29. I want you to see this. We have a tendency to just want all the good stuff. We don't necessarily want the hard stuff. But the Christian life is not one of health, wealth, and prosperity all the time. Now, God has given us good health in some circumstances. God has given us wealth in some circumstances. God has made many of us prosperous in certain circumstances. But he says this, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, in other words, it's good to be saved, but also to suffer for his sake. I don't understand why certain things happen. A few months ago, I was visiting Brother Don, and he was in one of his good days. And he said, well, how's Debbie doing? And I said, well, preacher, I said, she's got to have another valve replaced. And he said, that ain't right. And I said, what do you mean that's not right? He said, she's too good of a woman to have to go through that. And I said, preacher, I appreciate that good word there. I said, but sometimes good people have to go through things. I said, you're an example of that. I said, I've never met a man that I have thought was a better man than you. And I said, but what you're going through now is hard. He said, yeah, it is. Good people can suffer. Remember that. And so, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to the purpose. There's a third thing I want you to see, and I'm moving along tonight. We got a deacon's meeting. Number three, what's our incentive? What's your incentive? I want to be all on board with what God wants in my life. I mean, that's the train I want to be on. I want to be on the will of God train. So what is my incentive for this? Well, I want you to remember this definition of incentive. It's something that moves or influences the mind or operates on passions, that which incites or tends to incite to determination or to action. In other words, there is a force behind what we're trying to do that's called incentive. Now, there are good incentives, there are bad incentives. I remember when I was a little boy, one of the bad incentives was this. I had a tendency to tell older people, I just say, yeah, no. And I remember, I guess I was about maybe 8 or 10 when my dad said, he called me Dooley. He He said, Dooley, I need to talk. I got some things going on that you're fixing to change. He didn't ask me if I wanted to change them. I'm just fixing to change them. Okay? He said, a couple of things here. He said, number one, he said, you're too big to keep sleeping in church. Don't be going to sleep in church no more. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, that preacher could put me out quick. And he said, number two, he said, I'm tired of hearing you speak to people older than you by saying yeah and no. He said, you say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. So you understand what I'm telling you? No more sleeping in church, and it's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. He said, now, if I see you or hear you doing that, you can get a whipping. We didn't get spankings, we got whippings. You're going to get a whipping. Do you know, I didn't get a whole lot. I didn't need a whole lot. Now, my wife says I should have got more than I have. But I didn't get a whole lot when I was a kid, because the two or three that I got, oh, they gave me a good memory. And so I began to develop, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yes, sir, no, sir. And I'm sure I probably slipped up every once in a while, but I corrected it pretty quick. And do you know now, when I'm speaking to people, and I've probably done this with many of you, I'll say yes, ma'am, to you. Sometimes I'll say yes, ma'am, to some 20-year-old. You say, why is that? That's the way I was taught. That's the way you're supposed to be respectful. Well, you know what? I had an incentive to say the ma'ams and the sirs and to not sleep. You know what that incentive was? I didn't need a whipping. Didn't want one of those things. I had two or three of them. That was plenty to go around. All right? But then there's some positive incentives. The incentive of reward. Right? Some of you have worked in businesses, and maybe you have owned the business and you have offered incentives. If you reach a certain number of sales, I'll give you this. If you reach a certain quota, then you'll be able to have a cruise. You'll be able to go on a cruise. I'd rather them just give me the money. But I mean, you've had people that have given incentives for things. I know Brother Bill and Miss Marge, they used to go forever on cruises. He worked in the insurance industry, and if he met a certain quota, they'd say, we're going on a cruise. And I'm thinking, well, God bless you. I hope you enjoy it. I didn't want any part of it. But there's an incentive in the Christian life. And what is that? For us to be like Christ. Look with me at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Who's the he? That's the Lord. Now, can I tell you that God foreknew what was going to happen? When Joseph was in Egypt as prime minister and Jacob thought he was dead, God knew exactly where both those men were at the same time. Jacob didn't know about it. Joseph really didn't know if his father was still living. He didn't even know about Benjamin. He was already sold into slavery by the time Benjamin came around. He didn't know anything really about his family, but he remembered those guys when they started coming looking for grain. But these men, they didn't have any idea that they were going to be reconnected, but God did. And so the Lord has given us the place where we're going. What is that? If you keep reading, it says, he also did predestinate. Now, that's a scary word for we Baptists, all right? When you read about predestination, that simply means that God knew it ahead of time. And because of that, he said, I'll choose them because I know. I don't believe that God ever violates a person's free will. I think that I was free to choose Christ and free to reject Christ, but God knew that I would do it before the world was ever formed. God knew it, but God let my will be the one that would be the deciding factor. Now, I know there's some people that would quibble with that, and there's some people that are way farther than I am. I mean, you've got some people that are called Calvinist, and you got some people that are called Antinomians, and Arminians, and you got all of that. Well, I believe that God foreknew because he's a sovereign God. But I also believe that I'm a man with a free will. But I believe that my God is so big that my free will, even when I choose to rebel, God can get me back in line and still fulfill his purpose. And so, he did foreknow, he did predestinate, and what was that predestination? What was that all about? Notice the word conformed. That's the same word that is used in chapter 12. If you want to go to chapter 12, I'll show it to you. I wasn't going to do it, but I will. Go to chapter 12 and look at verse 2. Same book, Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Now, when you were a little kid, you used to probably play with Play-Doh. Anybody ever play with Play-Doh? Yeah. If you didn't, your childhood was not complete. All right? We even in our house, my wife has got some kind of recipe, and she can have homemade Play-Doh. You know, I mean, I think it's flour and water and food color, and I think that's what it is. But anyway, I mean, the babies can move their hands in it and squeeze it around. Well, one of the things that I had as a kid was what would be called forms, or we would say cookie cutters. And you would roll those things out, push it, knead it, roll it up, beat on it, and you're trying to make it pliable. And when you do that and you roll it out and then you take that cookie cutter or that form and you put it on it and you push down on it. And the next thing you know, you pull it up and what have you got? You got a Christmas tree. You got a star. You got a whale. You got a cat. You may have a letter. And there are times when people even bake those things and put a string through them and hang them on a Christmas tree. That's what conform means. It means to be placed into the mold. And we're not to be placed into the world's mold. But back in chapter 8, it says that we are to be conformed. We're to be placed in the mold of the image of his son. We're supposed to look like Jesus. We are Christians. Now, Jesus was not a Christian. All right, I hope that you understand that. Jesus was the Christ, but the people that follow the Christ became known as Christians. And that was really not right away. That was down the road a little bit. When you read through the book of Acts, you'll find people in government and people that are Gentiles saying, well, these people are following the way. And that was what it was called in those first early years. Was their people of the way. But then they began to be called Christians. And that's what we're called today. I embrace that. I want to be a Bible Christian. I don't want to be a Christian in name only. I want to be someone that is pressed into the mold of Jesus Christ. And so, when you see this, you see the incentive that we ought to want to be like the Lord Jesus. We're to seek that as our goal. That is the incentive that I have, because if I'm like Christ, then the Lord is going to look at me one day and go, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I hope that's what he says. I hope that the things that I do will, even behind what I do, I hope my motivation is right. I hope that even my motivations in my behavior is what it should be. Now, I got a long way to go. But you as a Christian, When you have things that crop up in your life, when you have an unexpected death in your family, when you have an unexpected illness. Jody was telling me a moment ago, she asked me, said, do you know so-and-so? And I did not until she began to explain it, who it was. Yesterday, one of our sweet ladies in our church sent me a text and said, please pray for this pastor. He has a daughter that now has to go to an oncologist, and she's a senior in high school this year. When I hear that kind of thing, it crushes me. When my youngest girl went through her thyroid cancer, they were saying, well, she's got to have one of these little nuclear tablets put in her, and you can't ride with her. And I'm thinking, nobody's telling me who I can ride with. I'll ride with my kid if I want to, you know. And I'm praying, Lord, you know, she's a young girl. You know, she wants to get married. She wants to have a family. Lord, why are you allowing that? Give it to me instead. I mean, I'm already older. I'm 60 years old probably at the time. I've lived a good life. Give it to me. But God wouldn't do that. And sometimes you'll have things happen and you'll think, is this really going to work out? Well, biblically it is. But what we've got to do is we've got to make ourselves go to the Bible, because sometimes we know it intellectually, but we've got to know it spiritually. We've got to take a deep breath and go, all right, don't let my emotions get away from me, because we can all do that. My heart was anxious at 3:30 this morning. I was up at 3:30 praying, thinking. Went back to bed at 5, got back up at 6. But at 3:30, my soul was anxious. You've had experiences like that. Nobody may know what's going on inside but you. But you've had experiences like that. And I want you to know that just like Jacob of old, so you can trust the God that you serve, because all things do work together for good to those that love the Lord and to those that are called according to his purpose. So when the devil whispers in your ear, that's not true, you go, oh, it is. And I've lived long enough where I can see the hand of God, and it's protecting me for the past 5 decades. I can see that over and over and over. And if you'll be looking, you can see that yourself.